Not quite one-fourth, and never just half, but the entirety of one primate, whole. It is the part of a story, an idea that means more to you than me. Hello and welcome to Full Gorilla Life. We are Jeremy Keene,
Larry Medina,
and Corey Hewlings.
Each week, we will break down an important life concept or talk with an inspiring person so that you can live your full gorilla life.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome onto the podcast Randy Kerperine, and I think I got the name right.
Nailed it.
Awesome. So I got the name right. That's a win. So I used to work with Randy about 8 years ago. It's been a while.
Yeah.
And I worked with him. I left the company where I worked at, which is a local hospital here. And honestly, like one thing, like your story's always stuck with me because you actually went out and took a big chance, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I definitely want to get into that, into this podcast, as far as like what your big chance was. But before we get into that, maybe we can get into your path, right? What has been your path? Maybe starting from like college, where'd you go to college? What'd you end up becoming at the hospital that we worked at, right? Because that, sure. That's what it is. And then we can get into the jumps and things of that nature.
Okay, cool.
But maybe, yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So relatively, I guess, normal in my mind path. I went to college. I started out going to college so I could play basketball. And then I just picked up studying and school within that, academics within that. So I graduated with a BS in psychology and a BS in recreation therapy. Tried to get a job, just really nothing out there. Actually ended up joining the Army, was a medic in the Army, and got into a cardiovascular specialist school while I was there. So
in the Army?
Well, yeah, while I was in the Army. So okay. They sent me to Fort Sam to the AMED, Army Medical Center and School, sent me through the cardiovascular training school. So I did that the remainder of my time in the Army. And then when I got out, moved back to Michigan where I was from, and the job market was horrible. It was 2006. We were like mid-recession. Job market was bad. And I got a call from somebody that I had met while I was in the Army. She actually worked at Duke University, and the local hospital here in Vero was starting a heart program.
Yeah.
And she was actually one of the affiliate sponsors for that program. And she said, "Are you interested in moving to Vero Beach and helping me start a cath lab?" I said, "Yeah, that'd be awesome." So that's how I ended up in Vero. And I spent about 10 years at the hospital.
Yeah.
So that's really the path that got me to where you and I met.
Yeah, yeah. So we met through that. We also met through outside circles, right? Because you were kind of, well, you are a really good runner. I don't know if you still are, but when I knew you, you were a really good runner. I thought I was in shape and you would smoke me. It's the truth. Yeah, at the hospital, when you came on board, what did you come in as?
I came in as a what's called a registered cardiovascular invasive specialist. So RCIS, it's cath lab tech.
Okay.
So I worked in the cath lab.
Yeah, so you started off as that, and then you moved on from there, and you became?
The manager of cardiology services. And that's kind of where I started and got in a rut, where I knew things were, I thought it was like the next progression. You just move on and you move up into, administration or whatever that was. And, wasn't quite what I thought it was going to be. So
how long were you in the Army for?
I was in the Army for 5 years and 11 months.
Okay. Was there a reason why you got out of that or?
When I enlisted, I was all in. I figured I was going to do 20 years. But then my first son was born within the first year and a half of being enlisted.
Okay.
Things change a little bit.
Absolutely.
A little bit, Absolutely. Jumping out of helicopters and dodging fire is a little less appealing, when you're thinking about somebody else.
So you got to jump out of a helicopter?
No. I trained to jump out of helicopters, okay, but unfortunately I never did have a chance.
But okay, that thought definitely changes when you have someone you have to worry about that come even more.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That relies on you. Yeah. Definitely.
All right. So you became manager, right? So yep. I agree. Sometimes you get the job that you think you want, then you get it and you kind of regret it because you feel kind of stuck.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? I definitely felt stuck. Felt like I wasn't in a position to be able to make change. Didn't feel like I could move things forward. It was a really stagnant culture and it wasn't my style. Like I didn't want to spend, you know, years and years of my life being stuck spinning my wheels.
Did you feel like you were trying to make things happen, but there was too many obstacles by the people you work with or the company you work for? Was that kind of the feeling you were getting?
It was. Okay. That's a really good way to describe it. It felt like, you know, a simple task was taking entirely too much effort. So the amount of work to accomplish task was not relative to okay, really what was needing to be done.
Now, you say you're feeling stuck where you're there, but were you feeling stuck like because like financially or anything, like you had to stay there, or were you just feeling stuck in the job, like the job wasn't what you wanted?
No, I wouldn't say. I mean, it was, we were financially secure. Uh-huh. We weren't, you know, we weren't struggling by any means, but it was more of, I wasn't sure what the path would be. Is there going to be room to continue to go up? Can I affect change at the position I'm at? So it just got to be a point after about 2 years, 2.5 years, I started to see the writing on the wall. Like this is not really going anywhere.
Okay. So you felt stuck in your position. So there was nowhere else for you to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Not necessarily stuck there. At that point, did you start looking out elsewhere?
Yeah. I looked outside the hospital. I looked into, the industry side of medicine. I looked at different hospitals. I looked at a few different things.
Now, you, in the meantime, while you're in this position, you went to school, right?
Yeah. While I was in that position, I started working on my MBA.
Okay. And so were you doing the MBA and working at the same time?
Yes.
Okay. And so what effect did that have on you?
Well, you know, it's interesting. And that's one thing I would say is that pick up a book and open it up and read and seek knowledge and education, because that was probably what jump-started my move out of the hospital, was just a realization that, you know, you can probably do more than you think. You just have to, you know, expose yourself to other ideas.
Absolutely. We've talked about that before, the group of us. Even once you start a new education or a new path or give yourself just another doorway, how much better even your current situation becomes. Not necessarily for me anyway, not necessarily that you've done anything to get out of the current situation or it's all still the same, but just giving yourself another doorway or another path tends to change your entire outlook.
Probably gives you a better, like you feel like, okay, I have different directions now. I have multiple options. So it gives you the understanding that I can choose a different route.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think at the time when I started my studies is that there was an influx of ideas too. So in spite of maybe wanting to move on, I think it made me a better manager at the time as well. You know, I was really studying something that was, you know, geared to, you know, managing people, you know, understanding the business side of healthcare. So it was really helpful.
What did you get your MBA in?
So business administration with a focus on healthcare economics.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Okay. So you went to school, you decided to you know, you're still a manager at the hospital, and you're like, all right, I've had enough, right?
Yeah.
At some point, you're like, all right, I'm done. So at that point, what did you do?
Well, I really kind of looked around at some of the people that I was interacting with, some of my, you know, business partners, people that I was doing business with from the cath lab standpoint, from cardiology standpoint. And there was a lot of different...
like vendors?
Vendors, yep.
Okay.
Reps from other companies and okay, things like that. There was a lot of... And honestly, I was surprised at how many opportunities that really there were. But nothing seemed like it was something I could really put my heart into. you know, really get behind. And so ultimately what ended up happening is one of the reps that I became good friends with, he, you know, was talking to me, you know, we probably had ongoing dialogue for about a year or so where we were talking about, you know, trying to do something on our own, you know, getting out from under, you know, the corporate sort of the everyday, you know, grind and seeing what we could do on our own. So that we had that dialogue for about a year. And then finally one day I just decided, you know what, I'm going to jump and the parachute will either show up or it won't.
So. Yeah. So from, it was a year from when you started thinking about leaving to actually making the jump was about a year.
Yeah, it was about a year, maybe 18 months. It was, okay. It was a good amount of time.
Okay.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Because one thing I remember is when you were leaving, you said, if I don't sell, I don't eat.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's a lot of pressure to put on yourself, right? Because myself included, we're relying on that weekly check. So yeah, we become really reliant on that weekly check, and we don't think about all of the extra work or the hustle that you may have to put in to make that sale.
Yeah, and sometimes that fear will keep you, you know, someplace you don't really want to be.
So absolutely, and that's where I get to when I ask about the financial side of feeling stuck. I feel like a lot of people get to a point where they make so much money at their job, and maybe not even, you know, a ridiculous amount of money, but different amounts of money for different people, and they feel stuck there because where am I going to go make this money somewhere else?
Absolutely.
So the jump. So you're in this position, and we speak of the jump. What was the jump? Let's jump into that, if you will.
So, you know, and actually I had to do a little research because I wanted to know exactly what day it was. And it was, you know, September of 2013. That was the last day that I walked out of the hospital. And
do you remember what day? It could be like an anniversary today or something.
I can't remember exactly. I want to say, September 13th.
September 5th?
I want to say September 13th because that's my son's birthday.
Okay.
But yeah, it was just like, you know what? This is it. I'm out. And wow. It, obviously there was planning coming up to that point, but I do remember that day walking out of the hospital. And it was sort of a transition in that I still had ties there. You know, I didn't just leave, you know, high and dry. I gave them time. I helped them transition into getting a new manager in there, and helping make a nice smooth transition. But yeah, for the most part, it was it. That was it. I was done.
So how'd that feel though, walking out?
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it
was it like invigorating, or was there a pit in your stomach or a little bit of both?
I think the pit sort of, you know, dwindled over time.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't, you know, it was a long, there was a lot of planning and process going into this.
Did it feel like slow motion with like a big explosion behind you? Or?
No, it would have been a lot cooler if it was, okay. You know, like it was pretty like melodramatic, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah. So you left, since you started your own company.
Yes.
Right. Did you have any prospects already lined up when you left?
Yeah. So, you know, that's the one thing is you can't, I say jump, but you know, realistically there was a lot of planning into it. You know, I was pretty well prepared. It's not like I walked out and then the next morning I woke up and said, well, what do I do now?
Gotcha.
So
that would be my plan.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, hey, sometimes, you know, that desperation, it can be a great motivation, but unfortunately I didn't work that way quite like that. So, but yeah, there was some planning done. I had some things sort of lined up. So
you married or were you married at the time? Or?
So married at the time. So, and ironically, she was pregnant at the time.
Okay, with your second child?
So total of four between us.
Okay. God bless you.
Yeah, yeah. So we're a blended family. So her daughter, my two sons, and our daughter together.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
So that adds a little extra
anxiety,
but pressure, if you will,
absolutely,
to the mix.
And just to make it even more anxiety provoking is that, you know, she... Once we had our daughter, you know, she was basically stay-at-home mom.
Okay, that was my next question.
Yeah, so she was a teacher. So, yeah, I had to make it work.
Okay.
So
how did she feel about you walking away from the hospital?
So, you know, interestingly, she just knew the psychological effect it was taking on me. You know, at one point, I think I remember going behind her and looking at her computer screen and saying, you know, she was Googling, like, what do you do when your husband hates his job? You know, so she was on board. She was all in. Yeah.
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 Wow. So. Okay. I mean, that's good. Right. I mean, she knew. And so when you told her, was her reaction like, okay, or was it like, let's think about this?
No, she knew. I mean, and I'm more concrete, whereas she's a little more abstract. So okay. I laid out the details for her. You know, I said, this is what I'm going to do. This is my plan. She's on board.
All right. So you make the jump. What happens?
So I made the jump and it was a series of transitions because I was transitioning out of the hospital. So I was still working for them. So I was on their payroll a little bit. And then I was also working I had several jobs. I was working for the hospital. I was working per diem for the company that I ultimately ended up being hired by and that I work for today. And then the big piece of the pie was my business, that I had started as a S Corp, and it was called Distinctive Medical Solutions. And what I found in my studies with my MBA was that, most physicians are super good at medicine, not so much at healthcare finance and healthcare economics. So there was a real big opportunity there to go into different practices and say, hey, you're doing this work and you're probably not getting compensated for it. You're probably leaving money on the table. And that's just the way our healthcare system is. I think it's a lot different than it was maybe 8 years ago. But definitely there was an opportunity there. And that's what I based my business around.
So to clarify, just for the listeners, because I think I got it now. But you work for one company, but you have your own business on the side. You have multiple avenues right now.
So present day, I work for a corporate entity. Okay. So yeah, so I am employed by them now. But at the time, so my step away, I was 1099 with multiple parties.
Oh, client. You had different clients,
different doctors. And then of course the hospital but I transitioned off of them in about 3 months. And then, I was working, like I said, sort of a per diem part-time basis for the company I work for now.
So your business, right? Yes. No longer in.
So yeah, we closed out our business in 2017. So we closed the doors on that.
So it's 4 years?
Yeah. Okay. Two years. Well, 2 years, we've been ceasing operations for 2 years, but yeah, it was about 4 years.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So 2 years you were on board, you were trying to hustle.
Yep.
Make the sales, get things going.
Yep.
2 years, it just kind of was there, but not necessarily actively working it.
Right. Right. Because what we did is we ultimately ended up building. So my partner and I, we built a software program that we essentially sold to physicians to basically be able to use. So we acted as a third party to basically streamline their processes so they could, you know, meet certain data points and collect revenue and just make sure that they weren't missing things.
So is that software still in use?
It is not. We closed it down.
It wasn't sold to a different party or anything.
No, okay. we had a few offers, but ultimately what happened in the way it sort of went is we sort of got reverse engineered. So we kind of got boxed out. And that's what happens, I think, when someone who has a lot of money and has a lot of resources.
See something's working.
Yeah, absolutely. Can say, oh, well, these, you know, two or three individuals, we can easily, you know.
Yeah, that stinks.
So do you regret it at all?
Absolutely not. I would not end up where I am right now if I didn't make those decisions, you know, in 2013.
So what are you doing for the company now that you work for?
So the company I work for now is, I'm still in cardiology. So we manufacture the world's smallest heart pump. I was hired in 2015. And I worked for about 2 years for them as a part-time employee. And I've been promoted within that company twice. And I just went for an interview up in Boston, actually, last week for hopefully another interview. So all of that has been a result of, you know, where I started.
Awesome. So now, do you feel like they looked at you with a higher regard because you had started this, your own company?
Oh, without question.
Yeah.
Yeah, without question. And it still comes up to this day. You know, the executives that I met with, they want to know about it.
Yeah.
And why, why aren't you doing that? Why didn't you want to stay that path and so on and so forth? So,
yeah, sure.
So with the software, with the company that you had, what do you feel was your biggest lesson that you learned with going away and then doing your own thing? What do you feel like for you was the biggest thing that you took away from it? Right. Cause some people may look at listen to this and they might be like, oh, well, he failed. Right.
Yeah.
I don't look at it as that way
either, yeah.
But I could see how somebody may say that.
Yeah.
Right. But so what would you say to that?
I would say, I guess you have to define what failure is, quite honestly.
I mean,
in my mind, I ended up where I was supposed to be. And I will say that out of those 3 years where we really were on our own, you know, you're buying your own health insurance, you're, you know, balancing multiple corporations basically because you have yourself, your family, you have the business, you have multiple credit cards to, you know, one is a business card, one is a personal card. I mean, you have, you have an accountant basically trying to, all of those things add up to how you work, how you problem solve, how you get to what you know you want to do. And I'm glad I did them because I never would have known that we wanted what we have now.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Now you said you had a partner, one partner?
Yeah, one partner, and then we hired a software engineer to create our software. And
now, so how was that with the partner? Were you guys friends before, or
we were friends before? He was one of the vendors that I had a business relationship with prior, and then his we knew the software engineer sort of as a.
Now, was the software engineer hired by you guys or co-owner, or how?
So what we did, we kind of offered him an option. We offered him a third, basically equity, or, you know, we could pay you. And he took the equity, which is a pretty smart decision, quite honestly.
So now you said he was somebody that you worked with, your other business partner?
Yeah.
Now, were you guys friends outside of it, or was it strictly business?
No, we were friends outside of it, which really made it... which really made it good. I mean, quite honestly, I mean, you have that personal relationship, you know,
I can see that going either way.
Yeah. Cause we've all heard that horror story of, you know, friends or family getting into business together and it just imploding on itself.
Yeah. And I think we were lucky.
Okay.
For sure.
Now, was there anything that you think kept you guys together or kept you guys straight? Like, was there anything that you guys did that you feel like, kept you guys from imploding your friendship or anything like that?
You know, I'm not sure. My partner was super selfless. Like he really wanted to, you know, he had a vision for what he wanted to do. But he really cared about, you know, he essentially talked me into walking away from stability
okay.
into this, you know, so he was very supportive, super selfless.
So he was kind of the,
he was the catalyst for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, did absolutely. He walk away too?
Essentially he did. Yeah. He worked for a big company as well.
Okay.
So we kind of, yeah, I guess we sort of did. We walked away sort of together. He was out first.
Okay. So he actually left his company to help run the business first. And then you followed him after?
Yep. So we worked very closely together, and just not to complicate things, but he had his own corporation and I had my own. We just basically...
Oh, okay.
Together.
Okay. Got
and then, okay. And then the third corporation was the software company. So it just basically for tax reasons, we created these
three entities.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay. So 4 years down the road, then you go into what you're doing now.
Yep.
What is your title now?
So my title now is Regional Clinical Manager.
Okay. Okay.
So through all of it, in regards to happiness from where you were, it sounds like you've made some, you had to work hard there in the middle, and then you got into a place that you're pretty happy then?
Yeah,
so
absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be. So, yeah, it's, things happen for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, there's a plan and everything, but yeah.
So during the thing, because in the part where you started to realize that you were kind of being reverse engineered maybe or anything like that.
Yeah.
And things, it's hard to hear that it's things happen for a reason. Because I know I've been in places where, it didn't happen for a reason. And after a while, you get tired of hearing that saying. It's like, shut up with it. So did you get to that point of frustration, or did you just work through it? And
We were actively looking to be bought.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to sell the software.
Okay.
And at the time, and the reason we wanted out was because we were looking to go in a different direction. So it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that really softened it for us.
Okay.
It almost gave us, and even though we were being reverse engineered, we still had our own clients. They were still using our product. So it really didn't matter to us.
Okay.
It would have been nice to sell it off.
Yeah.
To be able to cash out at the end like
absolutely.
That. But I mean, if you still have your own clients and you offer a certain level of service, you know, software is one thing, but there's still a level of service that comes behind software.
Absolutely.
Or I think so. Larry could probably speak better on that.
No, it's true. It's true. I mean, it's all about, regardless of what you do, it's all about customer service.
Oh, without question.
So when you're being reverse engineered, right? Is there anything that you wish you would have done differently, like looking back on that, or
like a fire sale? Yeah. Just dumped this.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. We had limited resources. I mean, if you give us, six software engineers to work on six different aspects of a piece of equipment or a piece of software, you're going to get a six times better, if not better, product. We had one guy who, as a second job, basically was building this on his own.
Wow.
So,
it's a good side hustle, though.
Yeah, it's a great. Well, yeah, for equity, yeah. I mean, that's all he was getting, right? Was equity, or was he getting like a paycheck as well?
Well, he was getting equity from the revenue, which is basically which was perfect for him, because he basically put in a lot of work on the front end, did some maintenance after that, getting recurrent.
That's the beauty of software.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because you just have to build it once, and then obviously you want to
tweak it here and
tweak
there.
It, make a different product based on what you already have. But for the most part, you just build it once and distribute it.
Yep.
Yeah, especially now that it's downloadable, you don't have to create CDs or DVDs. You're good to go. Yep. Okay. So now you are where you are. Now for me, I feel like the hardest part of leaving a company is insurance.
Yeah.
How did you go about looking for insurance?
So, the Affordable Care Act really comes into this story a lot, because that's what the software program was built on, was the Affordable Care Act and a piece of that, and just delivering services to Medicare beneficiaries. But anyways, the Affordable Care Act was coming basically into the point where if you were, all insurers or all employees needed to have insurance. And if you didn't, you had to commercially buy it. So yeah, we spent a lot of money basically on commercial insurance. But it was, I guess we pay for it one way or another.
Yeah.
We were relatively young and healthy at the time. So we didn't really need a lot. We basically had catastrophic insurance, so to take care of everything. It was a pain, without question.
Now, as far as like having your own business, do you feel that having your own time, like not having to be on somebody else's time, 9 to 5, what was your thought on that? Or did you even work more than that because it is your own business?
Yeah, super, super appealing. To have, the autonomy to do whatever you want. But on the other hand, you know, as an entrepreneur, you basically, you know, you don't work the 40 hours a week, but you're working 80 or 90 hours a week for yourself. So it's different, you know, and
you're a little more willing probably to work
absolutely 80
hours because it's for you, not absolutely for somebody else.
And I think the one thing I think that it taught me was that I can work really, really hard. And I sort of had to get out of the rut of being, you know, comfortable maybe, and just being in a place where I could coast through, to really peel back the layers and say, now if I want something, I just got to grind it out.
Go get it.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely think it's an extraordinary story because most people don't make that jump, or most people are too afraid to make that jump.
Yeah.
Or they wait too long to make the jump, or, you know, especially to do it at, you know, at a younger age with a family. I feel like that's where a lot of people feel stuck. Yeah. You know, they get a decent paying job, they have a nice house and some car payments and a couple kids, and they're like, I can't afford to leave this. There's no way. But my motto is life's too short. It's way too short to, you know, go to a job that you absolutely hate or you feel stuck in. So we'd like to ask everybody at the end of the podcast one thing that our listeners can get from you that doesn't cost a lot of money, something that they can implement in their lives, something that you live by.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say the one thing that rings true for just about any successful person in this world is it's just hard work. Like, that doesn't cost you anything. It's not a skill or a talent. You just wake up and get to the grind, you know, and put in the hard work. Amen. If you set a goal, you just work for it.
Awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. No, listen, Randy, we appreciate you coming on.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.
Especially, you know, for some backstory, it was a very late notice. Randy was supposed to be on a couple of weeks. We had a cancellation. Randy's like, yeah, I'm in.
Awesome.
So it was,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
thank
we appreciate
you so much.
It a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
As always, we appreciate you guys listening. If you guys got any questions, comments, concerns, you can get us at fullgrillalife@gmail.com.
And if you want to follow us on social media, check us out and see what's going on. You can see us on Facebook at Full Gorilla Life, and on Twitter, Gorilla Full, like beautiful, like gorilla, the beautiful gorilla.
There you go.
And Instagram at Full Gorilla Life.
Yep. And please do not forget to hit subscribe on your podcast app of choice and visit us at fullgorilla.life. Adios.
Thanks, guys. Later.
Community, right? Give back to our community, to our listeners. What is something that they can do that can help themselves immediately without any real cost or without any real time, you know, to just something that they can do really quickly? What is something that you can think of?
Sure. So I think that if there's ever any type of hobby or passion that, you know, or at least in our case, making beer was something that we would be happy and content homebrewing. And if we never told anybody else what we were doing, but we were still content with what we were doing, and we know that we could be happy for the rest of our lives doing it, I think that's a pretty good indicator of something that's a worthy pursuit.
I like that.
That's awesome. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And last but not least, where can they find you?
We're at 2855 Ocean Drive. And then we're also on Instagram, Facebook, and our website, orchidislandbrewery.com.
What is your Instagram handle?
Orchid Island Brewery.
Okay, Island Brewery.
Awesome, man. We appreciate you coming in for
Thanks
sure.
Thanks so much for
you
coming out. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Again, this is Corey. If you guys got any questions, comments, or concerns, you can get us at fullgrillalife@gmail.com.
And if you want to follow us, see what's going on our social media, you can get us on Twitter and at Gorilla Full, and on Facebook and Instagram at Full Gorilla Life.
And this is Larry. Please hit subscribe on your app podcast, on your podcast app of choice. One day I'll get it right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Later.
Thanks a lot.